Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to episode 1,000,005.
214?
I don't have no idea.
We have no idea, but it's an episode.
Episode of the Eclipso Cigar View Podcast. I am Brian Luna.
Randy Rankin.
And we're doing something a little different today.
One, we're not reviewing a cigar.
Yeah.
And we'll be smoking cigars, but
exactly,
not
but not necessarily reviewing. But we are talking about the Texas Frightmare Weekend.
Yes, we got to go again. Thank you, Lloyd.
Thank you, Thor.
Thor. Thank you, Billy Pond, because we would have never known of Lloyd if it weren't for Billy Pond. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mesquite High School, because if I hadn't gone to Mesquite High School, I wouldn't have met Billy Pond. And yeah, that's too much Genesis.
How long is
stuff.
This going to go for? Exactly. Are we almost done here?
Yeah, we're getting close.
Okay.
And thank you to my parents. But no, thank you, Billy Pond and Lloyd, for that we got this hookup. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a blast, man.
That's so cool. You just walk past people and they lick your wristband and go, oh, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Got the fancy wristbands. Yes. Is that we had badges last time.
Yeah, we had badges. Yeah, but we didn't need no stinking badges this year. We just needed wristbands.
Exactly.
Great.
Which was very cool. Yeah.
And, okay, we've said it in previous episodes. We're referring to last year's Frightmare. The same held true. 95% of the celebrities are cool as shit.
Yep. Very cool.
Matter of fact, it's like you said, the handlers are the rude ones.
The handlers are the ones that are
We wanted to meet C. Thomas, or interview C. Thomas Howell. I've seen so many of his movies. I mean, he's Pony Boy, I have a Hitcher. I've seen so many. And while he was not a dick, his handler was, and wouldn't let us interview him. But he talked to us.
Yeah.
He shook our hands a couple times. He was very cool. Engaged us with his eyes, you know. Very cool dude. So, I don't remember really any celebrity that was... You know, Tara Reid's handler was rude, but she wasn't.
Yeah, she was nice.
We'll tell that story later.
Yeah.
We both have a funny Tara Reid story to tell. But overall, fun time. Great, great interviews. Hopefully you guys have watched them and enjoyed them or listened to them and stuff. But we worked hard. We tried to get as many people as we could.
Yeah.
And I thought we did. I think we did okay.
My wife said we were just jerking around for 3 days, but it was 3 days of being on your feet.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably worse than, it was like doing 3 days worth of cigar events. I mean, really.
It is. And you're nervous and you're talking to these people and I think we're good. I'm going to pat ourselves on the back. I know you were nervous a couple times. I was nervous a couple times, but I've watched all the videos. It doesn't come across. Mm-hmm. We just were able to keep it in, but I think that goes back to sales. Because I've always said, if you're on a sales call and you're not nervous, then you're not a good salesperson.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to be nervous because you're working on a deal and it's important. And that's what we were doing. We wanted to make sure we don't embarrass them and we don't embarrass ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Embarrass ourselves is okay. But
exactly. And a lot of people have embarrassed Tara Reid, which is why she wouldn't do anything.
Yeah, and I understood that. When her handler told me that, I was like, yeah. He said, it's going to wind up on TMZ. It doesn't matter how you spin it. It will wind up on there and they'll twist it. And I'm like, yeah, you're probably right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially with the questions you wanted to ask her.
So when a guy was going down on you in American Pie, don't
you? Right.
Exactly.
All right.
Great scene.
Yeah. So, and when she had the, didn't she have like the
whipped cream? Oh, she had the fake boob.
She had like whipped cream all over her body
in one
movie. It was
Body Shots.
Yeah, Body Shots. There you go.
But then she had the bad boob job where the nip slip happened.
Yeah,
She's had a rough go at it,
but you know what? She's still doing stuff.
She wound up being cool. We wound up enjoying visiting with her.
And
we just didn't get it on camera.
And really pretty in person,
too.
She was actually striking. So.
And who wasn't pretty that I thought, but you thought was Sherilyn Fenn. I didn't think she was pretty.
I thought Sherilyn Fenn looked fine, man. She's still really pretty.
I mean,
she's still got that.
I do her, but I'm just saying. It just wasn't what I was expecting.
No.
Neve Campbell is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that from movies, but I wasn't expecting it in person. But yeah, she's
really pretty.
Very pretty. We didn't get to talk to her.
Yeah,
that was like a 3-ring circus, just trying to even get people to ask if we could talk to her.
Yeah, it was. It was.
They had to find her agent, and then her agent was like, oh, "Come here." But anyway, hopefully you guys enjoyed the interviews that we were able to ascertain.
Mm-hmm. The big miss was Kim Coates, man. I really wanted to talk to Kim Coates. He's a cigar smoker. He had that article on Cigar and Spirits. We had a ton to talk to him about.
He's an open range.
Just poof. It didn't happen. Like,
ran into him a couple of times, but we never could actually interview him.
Yeah.
That was disappointing.
That was disappointing.
But we did talk to another guy who was in a Kevin Costner movie. Edwin Neal was in JFK. He didn't work with Costner, but he tells a great story about being in a casino with Costner. So watch
that interview.
Yeah,
that
was awesome.
Great, great stuff. Yeah. I could talk to that guy forever, and we almost did.
We almost did. I think we did.
We talked to him for a good amount of time. But you know what?
Yeah, we have like an 8-minute interview with him and then talked to him for like 40 minutes after the interview. But I enjoyed it, and dude, if we could accept him, and he's a cigar smoker. I'd have sat and had a cigar with him and let him just talk. I would never have said a word. I'd just said, just keep talking, man.
Exactly, yeah. That would have been awesome. Yeah. And eventually, I'm hoping that we keep doing this. Eventually, we get to the point where we can actually sit down with a couple of celebrities and have a cigar. And it doesn't need to be an episode or anything. It just needs to be an experience.
Exactly.
Know?
Savini kind of made us that offer. Yeah. Jack Shoulder kind of made us that offer. But now we're working, and so we couldn't really do it. But it'd be awesome. Yeah, we need to stay at the hotel that Sunday night is what we need to do.
Right.
That's what we're doing next year. We're going to stay in the hotel, and we can run into people. Because, you know, after the thing, we ran into two of the celebrities in the freaking bar.
Yep. Ran into Udo Kier, and Marshall Bell was there as well. Yeah. And they were just eating salad and hanging out, you know, drinking wine.
So that's what we should do.
That's probably what we should do. We need to get some Hyatt points. That's what it was, right? Hyatt Regency.
Yeah, it was Hyatt Regency. Yeah, so get some points. So if you get a chance to go next year, go. It's fun. I mean, you get cosplay. You get to mingle with celebrities. And like I said, none of them are dicks. They're all cool. Especially when you're paying them $30 for an autograph, then of course they're going to be really cool. But even just with us, when we're not paying them anything, they were very cool, very cordial, gracious.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them thanked us for interviewing them. It's like, really? Thank you?
Exactly.
Why are you thanking
exactly.
us?
Exactly. Thank you. Exactly. We're taking time to talk to these schmoes right here.
Yeah, these doofuses.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so what were some of your favorite moments of the weekend?
Pretty much the whole day you weren't there. No, I'm just kidding.
Exactly, yeah.
No, I mean, talking to Tom Savini, I mean, I've been following that guy since I was a kid. And getting to talk to him was probably my biggest nerd moment between him and Edward Wynn.
Yeah.
Or Edward Neal.
Edwin Neal.
Yeah, but I think we both agree that the Vincent Price's daughter's
speech that panel was so good.
Was awesome.
Oh,
it was awesome.
I mean, I had tears at points.
I did too.
And she got a standing ovation at the end of it. Yeah. It was really awesome. So, she's told about her life growing up with her dad being this icon. And I mean, she took us through his entire life. I didn't realize that he was a matinee idol at one point. I mean, he was considered a good-looking guy at one point. I mean,
he was. You saw pictures of him as a young guy, and you're like, he was.
Kind of looked like Charlton Heston or something.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but I just think of old Vincent Price doing the thing, you know. And I thought it was kind of, I mean, me and Michael Jackson's a lightning bolt, but nevertheless, a very talented guy. And at the point that he asked Vincent Price to be on Thriller, nobody knew anything about Michael Jackson as far as his negative stuff.
Yeah.
So what an honor for him to ask Michael Jackson to ask Vincent Price to be on Thriller.
Yep.
And like she said, he'll live forever just because of that song. If for no other reason, he'll live forever because of that song.
Yep.
Every Halloween, man.
So, I mean, just to give you an idea of what the event is like, it's basically, if you've ever been to any kind of Comic-Con or anything like that, it's that type of situation where there's going to be people you can, you know, meet and get autographs and talk to them and have a good time, but there's also going to be seminars. Mm-hmm. Like, they had seminars on how to do makeup, how to do, you know, how to actually make, you know, masks and stuff and cool shit like that. There was actual art there from you know. Yeah, I know. There was actually art there. You know, there was a couple of rooms.
Yeah, absolutely.
That
that one room with there was a Clive Barker.
Clive Barker original Henry Lee Lucas painting. Yes. You had the prop from Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the grandma prop, which looked awesome.
It was creepy.
It was creepy as hell. It
felt weird, you know, really weird being in the room with that.
It did. It really did. Like, and if the skin lamp had been there, it would have been even
creepier.
But it didn't show up.
Hey, did you know that Leatherface was based on Ed Gein?
I had an inkling of that.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you know that Tom Savini's based on Ed Gein?
Okay, last year we met Tom Savini. And he kind of blew us off.
Yeah.
I mean, he talked to us. He accepted our cigars.
Well,
then
again, it would have, you know, we don't know because last year for those
I'm trying
that
to
are
not
in the know,
blame your fucking ankle.
I busted my ankle and we didn't get to go back
broke
on the last day.
His ankle.
So that probably hindered us a lot last year. Mm-hmm. We got past that this year and we did really well. And I think really most, we had what, 6-7 interviews that last day?
At least.
So,
and but the funny thing was like halfway through the day, I was telling Sydney, your daughter, who by the way did a great job.
Mm.
I love that girl. I'm going to tell you, I love her. She's awesome. And you had gone to get some equipment or something from your car. So she and I were talking and she's like, you seem depressed. I'm like, yeah, I kind of am. And she's like, why? I'm like, we haven't landed anybody big. It's just, I mean, I'm happy with the interviews we've had, but you know, last year we had Scott Wilson, you know, we had other people.
Robert Patrick.
And I was like, man, we haven't landed that big fish yet.
Yep.
And she's like, well, we still have time. I'm like, yeah, I'm not holding out hope for that. Yeah. And then boom, boom, boom. It was like 3 or 4 in a row. It was like, really? Wow. Okay, now I'm really happy with this day. This turned out to be a great day.
Yep.
Okay, my biggest nerd moment, you can tell on the thing, was I've said many times on the show that I saw Texas Chainsaw Massacre when I was 4.
Yep.
And remember it to this day. I mean, I remember what my mom was wearing when we went to see this movie. That's how poignant this moment in my life is. And Edwin Neal, of course, is the hitchhiker who cuts his hand. And that scene freaked me out.
Yeah, and as to get it did to talk, people,
yes,
I think, yeah.
And to get to talk to that guy and shake the hand that got cut.
Yep.
Was awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty damn spectacular. Yeah,
it was awesome.
It was pretty spectacular.
And he was so cool. Very sweet guy.
Yeah, very sweet. And what a varied career. I mean, he's done everything from acting to, you know, writing to voice work to, I mean, the guy's
been an artist. And
yeah, he's been around.
Oh, the stories
forever.
He was telling about that
HR Giger. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, meeting so him. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, what a life.
I mean,
he's
just
lived.
You know, if you haven't watched the interview yet, definitely watch the interview. But just the point that he told, I told this to my wife, and she watched the interview after, and she was like, "That's really cool." Was that he? You know, to be part of that iconic movie just mm-hmm. kind of really helped his life
yeah,
go
exactly.
along.
Yeah, he got the part of JFK because of Oliver Stone being a fan of Texas
and he
Chainsaw
got yeah, and H.R. Giger had, you know, was an artist. He's a very famous artist. He did the, you know, the design for the Alien and Aliens. Didn't do the poster. He wouldn't mm-hmm. even do a poster for Alien. And
no,
he designed the creature.
I don't do posters.
Yeah, he said, "I don't do posters." So he called him up and they're like, "He's not going to do it. He's, you know, he's an artist. He's not going to do it." So he called him up and he's like, "Hey, I'm, you know, the hitchhiker from Texas Chainsaw." He's like, "Oh, I'll do one for you." You know,
exactly.
And then when he went to the guy's house, like, what did he have on the shelf? Like one of seven videotapes?
One of seven videos and one
how
of them was Texas
lucky is that to have
great.
That connection, to have that much of a, you know, just a pinpoint in that person's life
exactly.
that he was going to do that for you because of that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, that's
for a part, he probably
awesome.
Got paid $50 for, to be
exactly.
honest. We don't know,
exactly.
but that's probably what he got paid, being early 70s, being an independent horror film. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because he actually said that John Larroquette got paid $50 mm-hmm. to do the
to
part.
Do
the,
yeah, and then denied it.
And then denied it. I didn't do that. And then he got big. He's like, yeah, that was me. Yeah. I don't think I tell it in the interview, but I had seen that movie dozens of times. And it wasn't until like the 90s that I realized that John Larroquette was the narrator. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. I didn't pay attention. I was more freaked out by the movie, you know. But
yep.
That was awesome.
Yeah, very,
that was very
cool.
Nerd moment.
Very nerd moment, yeah.
Who didn't we not? Okay. So Elvira walked past us, but mm-hmm. we didn't get to talk to her.
Didn't get to talk to her, no. I couldn't even get close to her hand. Her table was so busy.
Yeah.
Brad Dorff was a miss for us. We didn't get to talk to him. I was hoping
to would like
to
talk
to
Chucky. That
would have
been cool. Yeah.
And,
Skeet Ulrich, we never could get around him.
Yep. There was a few that were untouchable.
Yeah.
Malcolm McDowell. We were 4 feet away from the guy half the time.
Yeah.
We just, you know,
oh, yeah. I mean, I could have turned around and hit him with a spitball.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And
but,
heartbeat. But no, we never could get close to him as far as getting to interview him. But William Sadler, I was so impressed to get that guy.
Yeah. I was very happy with the interviews we got. Yeah.
And yeah, just a fun day. Jack Shoulder, awesome.
I tell you what I'm going to do next year, though.
What?
I'm bringing my own booze. And my own food, and we're going to go to the car.
Yes, that was expensive. And I'm going to helicopter in so I don't have to pay for fucking parking.
$9 a day.
I spent $22 on Saturday because I parked in the wrong freaking terminal.
Oh, no.
Where it was a day terminal.
Oh,
and if
no.
you stay more than 6 hours, it's $22.
Oh, that's horrible. Yeah, I paid $9 a day.
Well, yesterday, because it was only there 4 hours, it was $9. But the day before, it was $22.
Oh, wow.
Yes, $10 Bloody Marys.
Yep.
$7 draft beer. Yeah.
It was expensive, yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely expensive. So.
Lasagna was good, though.
Yeah, it was. And it was still, all the food was $7 to $10. Yeah. I had a $14 burger. I was like, geez, you know.
Yeah, I had an $11 shrimp cocktail that was
four shrimp.
Shrimp.
Yeah. That's why I was wondering why you got that. I'm like, where'd you get
that? I wasn't
that
hungry. I'd already eaten. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. So is it ready for a break?
We can be, yeah. It's supposed to be a full episode, so we still got other stuff to talk about.
Okay. We got stuff to talk about.
So we'll take a break. We'll come back for the second, third. Right now, I'm smoking a one of the PDR smokes, and you're smoking a Letalier. But when we come back, we're going to smoke something appropriate, The Zombie.
Yes.
By Viaje. We are back for segment two of today's show. We are reviewing, well, not really reviewing, we're smoking.
Smoking The Zombie.
The Zombie. And this was
not the
to me.
Rob Zombie.
No. This
okay.
is the Viaje Zombie.
Okay.
And this is gifted to me by Andre Farkas over at the event, Ron's event.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so, yeah. I met that guy.
That was cool stuff.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
Ron's event. I was kind of dreading it, didn't know what to expect, but wound up having a good time. It was fun.
So this is a Nicaraguan Puro. It's Nicaraguan Criollo, or Criollo wrapper, and then
nice.
Nicaraguan binder filler. So.
Nice.
And it's good a little perfecto.
Yeah. It's tasty so far. Mm-hmm. I like a lot of Viaje stuff.
Yep. Strong, baby, strong. Mm-hmm. Kick you in the butt. So, I was there Friday, and just to give you kind of a rundown of the Texas Frightmare.
Where were you on Friday?
with Sydney and Nate. And, you know, Friday was pretty slow.
Okay.
It wasn't as bad. Saturday was pretty packed.
Yeah.
Saturday was kind of overrun. But it was fun to see What's funny about these, and it's the same way at all conventions. You go to nerd conventions like Comic-Con, you see the same people there every year.
Yeah.
And who's the most annoying?
Oh, the freaking accordion player?
The
good
accordion guy. God,
the accordion zombie.
They're cool.
He walked
by
a couple of our freaking interviews.
Every time we're doing interviews, he's walking by, playing the accordion. I'm like, are you doing that on purpose?
It was Tom Savini. They went, what the fuck? Yeah. He was pissed. That was awesome,
And they're cool. They're cool guys. The outfits are awesome, and I don't know if they're there just for fun or if they're there to promote some sort of horror house or something. Mm-hmm. Horror. That'd be a haunted house. There you go. Not a whorehouse.
You're there to promote a whorehouse.
That'd be a really awful whorehouse. What do the whores look like in that place?
Exactly. Jeez. Okay.
But there was a lot of people promoting whorehouses.
Haunted houses. Jeez, they're not whorehouses.
And there's like a year-round one.
Hey, Nate, what's going on, buddy?
I'm at the whorehouse.
You're being Nate. Haunted house.
And there's
said that yesterday. She was like, I'm going to talk to one of the people at the whorehouse. I thought she said whorehouse. I was like, what are you? You're 16. What are you talking about? Haunted house. I'm like, oh, okay.
I didn't hear her say that.
Yeah, that's funny.
I remember asking about that. I'm like, yeah.
That's funny. Okay, so Tara Reed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we went to talk to her handler, try to get her to talk to us. And it's funny because she kept looking over at me. So she heard the conversation. She knew what was going on. And then, you know, guy shot us down, like we said in the last segment. He's just worried that anything she says is going to get blown up on TMZ, and that's fair.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting for you on Sunday, because you said at 11:30 you were going to be there in half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I get there at noon, and you're like, oh, I'm about an hour away. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, you and life gets
you've got all the equipment.
Yeah.
So I can't, like, interview people or anything.
Yeah. You could interview people with your phone, but you
my phone sucks. You don't want to do anything on my phone. It shuts off out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So what do? I go to the bar.
Yep. Which is where the men go.
That's where I go. Go to the bar. So I'm sitting there, and one of my customers calls me, and he's trying to place an order, and, like, it's Sunday, and I don't have a pen, and I'm at this event, and holy shit, Tara Reed just sat down next to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what? Tara Reed just sat next to me. He's like, oh, okay, I'll let you go, man. So thinking, how do I talk to her? She already shut us down for an interview, but I'm not going to let Tara Reed sitting next to me go
past. Yeah.
So they were talking about the Freddie Gray thing up in Baltimore, and her handler was trying to describe it to her, and I don't want to be mean, so I'm not going to say anything, but she wasn't very aware of what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so she kind of asked me what was going on, and I kind of explained the situation to her, and she's like, well, that just makes people hate each other. And I'm like, well, yeah. I said, you know, if Amelia would quit beating it to death, then, you know, it probably would not be a news story anymore.
Exactly.
And she's like, yeah, you're right. That makes sense. She goes, I wish people would think of things that way.
I said, her career would be in a different place if that was the case, you know? Exactly. That's for damn sure.
You know? Yeah. So then her handler started talking to me for some stuff, and then so she asked me what I was drinking. I said, I'm drinking Bloody Mary. She's like, man, I wish I could have a drink. I said, I'll buy you a drink. You want a drink? And she's like, no, I really can't drink while I'm working. And I said, that's fair. And what was funny, you know, and I talked to you about this, and I thought it was hilarious. I know celebrities are people. Mm-hmm. We're all just people.
Oh, yeah, they're all people.
They're all just people. But it's funny seeing a celebrity be a person.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that, it's because they all have these manila folders on their tables so that when they sell their pictures, you know, their autographs and stuff, they just slip the cash in the manila envelope.
Mm-hmm.
And so the waiter at the bar asked her, he said, is this going to be cash or credit? And she's like, cash. And I'm thinking, that's kind of shocking. I would expect a credit card, you know, from a celebrity or something. And she pulls out her little envelope, reaches in, grabs the cash to pay for her meal. That was awesome. Mm-hmm. It's like, so really, it's just, they're just people.
They're just people. And people are people.
And so why should it be
that you and
I don't know the rest of the words, but
so
you
awkwardly,
get it. There we go. So, anyway, but that was just funny. She like reached in, pulling out all this cash from her meal envelope. Yeah. And that's how she paid. But to her credit, she paid for her handler's meal as well. So that's
nice,
cool.
Nice, yeah.
That was very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, she was a she was all over.
And you told her, you're like, you're gorgeous in real life. I'm like, really? You went there?
Yeah, I went there. I was like, hey, you're really pretty. But I also, you know, mentioned something about social media being mean. Mm-hmm. I mentioned that, too. I was like, yeah, I said, yeah, social media, you don't want to look at that. Those people are mean. She's like, yeah, they are. She was just doing it to herself, though, just looking at all the tweets and stuff.
Yeah,
I'm like,
that's what it was. When I was, before you got there, I was kind of looking. I could tell on her phone she was on Facebook for a while, and she was switched to Twitter, and then she went back to Facebook, back to Twitter, and I'm like, Why would you do that to yourself?
I would not. I mean, I wouldn't even pay attention to that at all. I'd rather know about, you know, news of the world than what people are saying about me. That'd be horrible. You know, I think being a celebrity is a lot harder than people think it is. It's, you know.
And I'll, to be fair, I mean, I never considered myself a Tara Reid fan, but I don't dislike her. You know, and I always felt bad for her. It seems like she probably caused some of it, but for the most part, she did get ripped a lot. But just meeting her. She seems very friendly. She seemed nice. She didn't seem like a snob in any way.
No, not at all. No, she seemed like really just down-to-earth cool person, but just in that situation, you know, and you got to deal with that situation.
Yep,
so.
Exactly.
And that's what you have handlers for.
Exactly.
You know? And every single one of them had a handler, you know, so.
Except for?
Edwin.
The great James Hampton. Oh, well, Edwin.
Edwin Neal,
So I got to revisit with James Hampton.
That was cool, yeah.
Didn't get to interview him. He's not, his health situation isn't as pleasant as it was last year. Mm-hmm. His wife remembered me. She kept trying to remind him of me. Memory, he played the bugle. So. Yep. He loves hops. His dad worked at a drive-in. I was like shocked that she remembered all this stuff. I'm like,
crazy.
Wow, that's okay.
That's cool. Yeah.
So she says, I saw that he had a cigar in his pocket. Mm-hmm. So I said, does he smoke cigars? And she goes, he does. And she says, one of his fans came by this morning and gave him a cigar. And I said, of course, you know, being the salesperson, I whipped out the cigar of the year from Cigar Journal.
Yeah.
And I handed her a cigar. I said, I would like to hand him the cigar of the year. And she's like, this was the cigar of the year? And I'm like, yeah. And she says, James. And he, you know, he's not doing well. So he finally looks over at her. She's like, here's the cigar of the year that Randy is giving you. And he's like, oh, thank you. And he goes, cigar of the year? And I said, yes, sir. And he's like, okay. So I said, can I at least get a picture? I said, I know I can't interview him. I said, can I get a picture with him having my cigar in his mouth? Mm-hmm. And she's like, absolutely. She's like, Jim, we're gonna help him endorse his cigar.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, huh? Jim, we're gonna help him endorse his cigar. Put the cigar in your mouth.
Yeah.
And so we can see the label. We get putting it upside down so you can see the label. So she's trying to get it back. And finally we got a good picture of it where you can see the label. Of course
that's
it's still in the cello and
But hey, you know, it's something.
Cool.
It's something.
It was cool. And she gave me a big hug when I left and I bought Humps.
That's cool.
Loaned it to you. You guys need to watch it.
We're gonna watch it, yeah.
And but that was cool. She's like, remember his dad used to run a drive in theater? I'm like, how in the world does she remember?
Yeah,
this?
She remembered me from I went to what was that? It was not Akon. It was something else. It was that other one we went to without you.
Where you met John Snyder?
Yeah, and I met him at that.
Yeah.
And I talked to her a long time. And then when we saw her at Frightmare, she remembered me from that other thing. So that's she's got a steel trap going on,
she's
man.
She's sharp. She's
both
sharp.
Both of them, I guess.
And not a bad looking lady. Very pretty lady.
Yeah.
James did good for himself.
Mm-hmm.
But sad. I mean, I just remember him. You know, I'd forgotten. Sling Blade? I mean, he was in Sling Blade. He was in The Longest Yard.
Mm-hmm.
Teen Wolf, obviously, we knew. Man, what a great career that guy's had. F Troop, obviously. But he was so important when I was growing up. He was in a lot of Disney movies and stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I remember that guy distinctly. And I think it's sad. I bet 90% of our listeners don't know who the hell he is.
Yeah.
And that
sucks. That does suck.
Yeah. I mean, do you remember him very well?
Oh, yeah. I watched F Troop and stuff, so yeah.
Yeah.
I remember.
Absolutely.
For sure.
And he's from Dallas and lives in Dallas, so that's cool. Mm-hmm. And then we... Where did I go? Speaking of steel trap, I don't have one.
Nah. I like when Edwin Neal flipped out and forgot what he was saying.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, good job, brain.
Dude, what a character that guy was.
That guy is something else, man.
He's awesome. He's like, I call him like the Kinky Friedman of acting.
Right.
Because he just has story after story after story. It was awesome.
Yep.
So what
Cassandra Peterson, man. Just seeing her walk by in that outfit. Woohoo, baby. I mean, she still looks good. She's 60-something, and
yeah,
she looks great.
I wasn't expecting that.
That was nice.
Not bad at all. Not bad at all.
Definitely looked better than Sherilyn Fenn. We'll say that.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, Sherilyn Fenn.
Yeah.
We're not trying to offend you or your fans. But
I still think
she
looks
good.
But she seemed real genuine, too.
She was
talking
awesome.
To everybody.
She was hugging everybody. And, you know, she reminded me of Linda Hamilton from last year. She was just very... Cool. You know, Malcolm McDowell. Oh, I was going to tell you a Jack Shoulder story.
Okay.
That I didn't tell in the interview. I told him afterwards that I witnessed this.
That, yeah.
Okay, so I'm walking by his table. I really didn't know who he was, and he didn't have much banners or any banners or anything. So I'm thinking Jack Shoulder. That name's not ringing a bell. Well, then I heard this guy say, guy's at his booth, and he says, man, Nightmare on Elm Street 2 is my favorite movie. And he says, I'd watch it more. I just don't have a copy of it, and I need to get that on DVD. And Jack's like, well, you know, I've got them here for sale. And he's like, I can't afford $20 for a DVD. Mm. And Jack's like, well, I don't care. He says, take the movie. I'll give you this movie. And I was like, oh, I couldn't do that, sir. And he says, if you don't have the money and you want the DVD, I'm giving it to you for free. Would you like this DVD? And the guy says, okay, thank you, sir. And he walked off, and I was so impressed with that because I didn't see anybody else do that. Nobody else offered to just give you something. So
what would have been funny is the guy was like, well, can you sign it?
Yeah, but I need $10 to sign it. So I told him that. I said, that really impressed me. I witnessed this morning, and he said, oh, you saw that? I said, yeah. He said, I just want people to see my work. I'm not here. I mean, money's money. He said, I just want people to see my work. And if it was one of his favorite movies and he didn't have the money for it, I didn't have any problem giving it to him.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I was
like,
that is very cool. I said, you've impressed me very much by doing that. Mm-hmm. So that was cool.
And he was a great interview, man. He had a lot to say. Yeah.
Great interview. That's another thing we're going to talk about. So, Edwin Neal, of course, we talked to him forever after the interview.
Yeah, for sure.
But we talked to Jack for a while, and he was an interested cigar learner. Well, he wanted to know.
He
smoked for
about,
20 years. Yep. He was asking about the process.
Where does the flavor come from?
The wrapper. What's the difference between the wrapper and the binder? And is Cameroon really African? And it was really cool. I mean, it was like, what a cool... this guy wanted to know.
Really the only person we've ever talked to that went that in-depth into it with us. Yeah. You know, most everybody just, you know, they say they do, and they may smoke one or two, you know, here and there. But he seemed like he was really interested in the whole process.
He was like, yeah, it's funny. He said, hey, can I ask a question? I said, what's that? He said, I've noticed that I used to smoke big ring gauge. I notice that now when I smoke a smaller ring gauge, it feels like I'm tasting more of the cigar. It tastes better.
Mm-hmm.
And so we broke down the wrapper binder filler ratio and stuff. And he's like, that makes sense. And it's just really cool. You could tell.
Yeah.
And it's probably what makes him a great director is he pays attention to the details that. You know?
For sure. For sure.
And he wanted to know the details of the cigar.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell he was happy that we were giving him that information. It was awesome.
Exactly. And a crap ton of free cigars.
You gave him more than I did. But I did give him the cigar of the year. So that's
I gave him the one he was excited about. He was like, I want to smoke this right now. A little bitty guy, the Grand Reserve.
Yeah. He wanted mine first.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
Before, then he plopped that one out.
Yeah, whatever.
Like, I can smoke this in 20 minutes when I'm walking my dog and stuff.
That's right, baby. Bazinga.
Exactly. It was fun.
It was a blast, man. I hopefully get to go to it every year from now on. I mean, this is the 10-year anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
10 years.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing this for two, and, you know, we went both years. So
we missed eight.
Missed 8 years.
And I was looking at some of the people we've missed over the years. It's like, what?
Really?
Yeah, we missed a ton of people.
Yeah, did you see the in memoriam thing? Someone did a video of like all the people that have been in the past that passed away.
Oh, no, I didn't see
that.
That's
pretty sad,
that kind of sucks.
Yeah. Ernest Borgnine was there, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Ernest Borgnine.
That would have been cool to meet Ernest Borgnine. He was a cigar smoker.
Oh, yeah, he was, yeah.
That would have been great to sit down with Ernest Borgnine and have a conversation. That would be awesome.
Wow.
So we got to make sure we go as many times as we can.
And I think Lloyd or Thor, whoever it is, I think we're hooked up. We're good. Oh, so we interviewed some people for a movie called Among the Dead. It's one of the interviews you'll see.
Yes.
And they're based here in Texas. And Parrish Randall is going to be the star in their upcoming movie. And Parrish, of course, was the dad in Circus of the Dead, which probably haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
Supposed to be get distribution this year. Hopefully that happens.
Yeah.
And so I mentioned, I said, oh, Parrish Randall was in my buddy's movie. He's like, Billy Pond?
Yeah.
He knew exactly who it was.
Like, Billy's awesome. We love Billy. And there's pictures of him on his Facebook page with Billy and everything.
Oh,
so.
Cool. All right. That works. And what happened on the screen there?
Don't worry about it.
Okay. We're just going to pretend like nothing ever happened.
Pretend like nothing ever happened, yeah.
Because we're pros. And
that's
we don't get bogged down in minutia.
This is tasty, man.
It is a good cigar.
Yeah. I like that Criollo.
I do, too. I have some Criollo news, but I won't share it on air.
Okay. All right. Well, let's take another break. We'll come back for the last third of the segment, talk a little bit more about Texas Frightmare and plans for the future.
Yeah. I tour around the world from London to the Bay. It's hammer, go hammer. It's a hammer, go hammer. And the rest can go and play. Can't touch this. Sorry.
Did it better the first time. So we're back for the last third, and we're still smoking the zombie and talking about the Texas Frightmare Weekend.
Yes.
And it was a blast. Now, what I'd like to do is expand our horizons and maybe try to go to some kind of a music fest or something. You know anything like that we can go to?
There's one coming up in Richardson, as a matter of fact.
Oh, really?
It's the largest musical festival in the DFW area every year, annual. Richardson Wildflower.
Oh, yeah.
And I've got a list of who's going to be there.
Sweet. Who's going to be there?
Of course, I can't read, but that's okay. Pat Benatar and her husband, Neil Giraldo, who Todd had a cigar with a couple months ago.
Okay.
Kansas. Love Kansas.
Yep.
Winona.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. If it was her sister, we'd be a lot happier.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. Maybe she'll be there to support.
Blue October. I don't know.
Yeah,
much
I know
about
that
them.
Is. Yeah.
38 Special seems like they're there every year.
Mm-hmm.
Everclear, Fuel.
Okay.
The legendary Leon Russell.
Cool.
Greatness. The Smithereens, Tonic, the Joe Ely Band. Are they one of those Red Dirt country bands?
I have no idea.
I don't know. Who else? Trout Fishing in America, whatever the hell that is. The Zane Williams Band, Susan Werner, La Freak, they're a 70s disco cover band.
That'll be fun.
Zepparella, Led Zeppelin tribute.
They said Led Zeppelin and Cinderella tribute?
I guess so, yeah. Awesome. And then Hard Night's Day is a local Beatles cover band. They're great, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't go in to see Hard Night's Day.
Hard Night's Day or Hard Day's Night?
That's the song. The name of the band is
Hard Night's Day.
Yeah. And
okay, I see what
you don't go in there and hear I Want to Hold Your Hand. Mm. It's deep album cut tribute band.
Are they the ones like Change Your Clothes, the segments and stuff like
they
that?
They have been at times.
Yeah.
But usually they're in the suits and the short haircuts, early 60s. But they go into, I mean, I love the Beatles, but I've never been, I mean, I know a lot of their deep album cuts. I don't know all of them.
Yeah.
My ex-wife was. And we'd go see them all the time, and she'd be singing these songs. And I'm like, how did you even know that? I've never heard of this song.
Right.
And she'd be singing all the words to it, you know. So it'll be fun. It's what day is it? It's May 15th through the 17th.
We've got an event on the
16th.
But maybe we can go on
we go Friday.
Friday
and Sunday.
Sunday, yeah.
Sunday's boring there. Sunday's terrible. I wouldn't recommend going. Go Friday or Saturday. Or go both Friday and Saturday if you can. And maybe we can get media passes to that. Let's call Thor.
We'll try and see what we can do.
See if Thor can do that.
Maybe. Yeah, if, you know, he's got to know somebody on Chamber of Commerce in Richardson. Maybe we can get in that way.
Yeah.
That might be cool. That'd be cool to go
would
to that.
Cool.
There's got to be some celebrities.
You know, Mary, Matt's wife, is the president of one of the local banks that sponsors Wildflower. So she actually gets to go backstage and meet the bands and stuff like that. Yeah.
Matt get to go with her?
No.
Oh, just her?
Wow. Matter of fact, one year she introduced Night Ranger.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah, that was kind of cool in front of 70,000 people. You know,
right.
Now we're having Night Ranger.
And now there's band Night
Sister
Ranger.
Sister Christian of the time is come.
Wow. Motoring, baby. Motoring.
Motorboating.
Mm-hmm. Motor. That was the original line. They made him change it because it
really?
Wasn't.
Someone
no,
was
I don't know.
Okay, that's clever. Tell me some more of your favorite moments, man. We had some good ones.
Yeah, we did have some good ones, man. I liked Kyle Schmid. We didn't get to talk to him.
Bumped into him.
He was getting beers and stuff at the bar. We were sitting at the bar, and you know he's been in a lot of stuff. He's in the Covenant, which is like the girl version of The Craft, and all these other TV shows and stuff. And I was, you know, I'd seen him in Copper, which I watched recently. It's a Netflix original show. Really cool show. You probably like it actually. And he was there getting drinks and stuff. And I asked him, I was like, hey, you don't by chance smoke cigars, do you?
Yeah, we tried to give him a cigar.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, man, I do smoke cigars. Cool. I was like, we'd like to talk to you later. He's like, yeah, come by and see me. And
we're trying to offer him one.
And he had his hands full with all these beers. And then the girl was trying to give him his change. He's like, well, just put it back here. So he like positioned his butt over so she could put it in his back pocket. And I was like, oh, she gets to touch the butt. He's like, started cracking up. And like, everybody's like, oh.
He's like, come on, my booth. I don't have a pocket. We didn't go by his booth to give him cigars, though.
No, we didn't. We were right there, but we were trying to get into William Sadler's handler and stuff.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
And then he like took off. We're like, shit. So we didn't get to talk to him. Maybe next time. We'll see.
A lot of them left way early.
They did, man. Like,
Matt
Campbell
was gone by like 2 on Sunday. Skeet Ulrich was about 3:15.
Yep.
Kyle Schmidt was about the same time.
Yeah, Kim Coates was out early as well. Yeah.
Meanwhile, William Sadler was a coup for me. I wanted to land that guy. I mean, legend. in a mm-hmm. ton of shit. He's in the Jesse Stone movies with that I love. He's in Shawshank. I mean, great resume. And he was one I really wanted to talk to. And his handler was, once again, you know, I understand. They're doing their job. They're a gatekeeper. And I'm a great gatekeeper. I used to be a gatekeeper, and I'm good. I can. You're not going to get to the person unless that person tells me that, yeah, I'm good. And that's all they're doing, so I'm not mad at them. And she's like, you know, can we interview him? This is like at 4:30. Thing ends at 5. She goes, I want him out of here in 30 minutes. And we're like, that's fine. We're going to just talk to him for 5 minutes. And she's like, okay.
Is it going to be video? Because we'd rather just, you know, not have flashes and stuff.
Like, we're like, well, not taking pictures. It won't be flash. It'll just be video. And she's like, okay.
Yeah.
She's packing up his manila envelope with all his cash and
right,
stuff.
Right.
And then these two people jump in.
Mm-hmm.
We were waiting in line. We wanted him to get his money, you know, from his fans.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy and a girl walk up looking like fans. And so we stand out of their way so that he can get his $30 for his autograph or whatever.
Yep.
And they're fucking interviewing him. It's like, what?
Usurpers.
They didn't ask for permission. They just walked up and
they
started interviewing him.
Jumped right in there.
Bastards.
I know.
So, but he was cool because I think he gathered, wait a minute, they're the ones that asked for the interview.
Yep.
And so he kind of pointed over, he's like, give me 1 minute, give me a minute, and I'm good.
Yep.
And then, so we walked up, and he's like, so, an interview, huh? And we're like, yeah. And I said, he says, do we have time? He looked over to Haley, she's like, I told him I'd give him 5 minutes. And he's like, okay, that's fine.
Yep.
We did like 9 minutes with him, and then talked to him for like 3 or 4 minutes afterwards, too.
Yeah,
so he was really cool. He didn't bitch about us taking longer than 5 minutes. And it was very awesome.
Nope. Yeah, it was very cool, yeah. Yeah, it was good times, man. Mm-hmm. I had a blast. There's just a lot of, like, weirdness going on in that place, that's for sure.
It's just, and that was like his first convention in like years or something, and he was just talking about, wow, just seeing all the people and everything. It was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So then we, the weird science guy, Robert Russell.
Yeah.
He wound up being really cool, too.
He was very cool,
and I was expecting, you know, go ahead.
No, there was just so many questions we didn't get to ask. And I think it's you lose it in the moment because you have these, like, I had all these questions in my head because I wanted to ask him about his acting school. He has an acting school.
Oh, yeah?
Wanted to ask him about that and didn't get to ask him about that. We did ask him about the Brat Pack thing, and, you know, that was cool. But also wanted to ask people who'd been in the industry for a long time, like Malcolm McDowell. I could have asked this to Edwin Neal. There's a couple of people just about how much it's changed going from film to video, and has it, you know, hindered the process? Has it helped the process?
Yeah.
What's, you know?
Yeah.
So that was, you know, other
Well, we talked
I
to
had,
Jack Shoulder a little bit about that.
Yeah, a little bit.
I was telling him I don't like CGI, and he actually thinks it's easier for the director, which it makes sense.
Yeah.
But what he didn't get back around to was, but how does it affect the quality of the picture? And that's kind of where I was going, but, you know, once, like you said, once you get into the conversation, it, so he says something else, and then you jump on that.
You go where the conversation takes you when you do those type of interviews. But, you know, the digital blood was the biggest negative for me in horror movies that's happened recently, and that kind of started with the Dawn of the Dead remake. While I like the Dawn of the Dead remake, the digital blood thing bugged me, and it still never looks right to me. It doesn't flow right. It doesn't splatter right. It doesn't, you know, just stick with blood. I mean, blood's not that hard to do, you know?
Right, exactly.
It's just I guess it's the cleanup that they don't want to do, so... Yeah. That's been a big negative for me in the industry, but
I don't want lazy filmmakers.
Yeah, exactly. I like practical effects, and that's what I liked about Wolf Cop.
Yeah,
which we haven't talked about yet, so we'll talk about that.
Splinter was one of the things you liked about Splinter.
Yeah, practical effects. Yeah. You know, so Wolf Cop, we did go to a screening. We went to Sydney and I went to one. We went to see Klinger, and it was good. And it was a horror comedy, and then we all went and saw Wolf Cop.
Mm-hmm.
Fully expected it to be just complete garbage.
I thought it was going to be one of our typical.
Yeah. I was expected to be. I was expected to be more like Evil Bong.
Yeah,
Evil Bong
or Sharknado,
which we saw part of, which was jeez. But Wolf Cop.
Oh yeah, we did see the last part of that. God, that was terrible.
Wolf Cop was very well shot. Some good performances. And it's weird because, like, the first 30 minutes before anything really gets into the werewolf stuff, it seems like a pretty cut and dry
cop show.
You know, cop procedural thing.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you get this mystical element that goes in there and. Now he's a werewolf, and it goes off the rails.
It does.
It is freaking hilarious.
It had a lot of funny parts. Had some good scares. Had some interesting that I need to research on with cryptozoology or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Because there's some things that the werewolves could do that I've never seen werewolves be able to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they're shapeshifters, and they can change from a person to a wolf.
Yeah.
But these people could change into other people.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Well, those were just shapeshifters. Those weren't supposed to be werewolves. Those were not lycanthropes. They were something else.
They were in the pack. I mean, but they were been yeah, running
but
the
pack. No, but they were. But that okay. So the way the story went was that these. It was kind of like a. How would you say? It was like they combined a couple of things. They had some kind of elements from Hot Fuzz with this group of people that ran a town, and they were evil. You know. Mm. And they were shapeshifters that had been running there for like 200 years, and they would use werewolf blood to continue to live. So they weren't werewolves; they were like lizard people.
He calls
people.
That one girl a wolf fucker or something. Or fucking he says to her, he says you're a fucking wolf.
No, I don't know. That's
the hot chick with the nice boobs.
Yeah. Really? I don't think those were her boobs.
That was wolf sex.
They weren't. Yeah, they never showed her face with the boobs.
I know, but
I'm
still,
convinced
but
those weren't her boobs.
Those were nice
but they
boobs
were nice boobs. Yeah. There was some bestiality
were,
in that movie. Exactly. Yes, there was. Yeah, but and, it was played for laughs, and it was actually
it was awesome.
Pretty
yeah,
funny.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
And I was very, very impressed with the female cop.
Mm-hmm.
Not gorgeous or anything, but attractive enough.
Yeah.
But she had some chops.
She did.
I was impressed with her.
Yeah.
The wolf cop guy. I didn't think his acting was all that great, but
Better than some that we've seen recently,
exactly.
For sure. Yeah.
But no, she was good. She should have a better career than what she's got.
Yeah. And some of the lines were just so cheesy.
I know.
Who are you? He's like on the corner hiding like a werewolf, all dressed up like a cop. He's like, I'm the Fuzz.
Yeah.
Like wow.
Oh, you did have a great moment, with William Sadler. You want to talk about
that? Oh yeah. So, interviewed William Sadler. We talked about how he played Death a couple of times. And he started going into the East European, whatever that accent was, Yugoslavian accent that he did for Death when he was doing Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite moments, or my wife's and I's favorite, we love that. We love the Bill and Ted movies. The second one's horrible, but William Sadler makes it funny.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a part in the movie when he's basically saying, we'll play a game. You pick the game. If I win the game, you stay in hell. If you win, then you get to go out. Mm-hmm. So they pick, like, Battleship. And they're kicking his ass. They're just kicking his ass at Battleship. And they win. And he's like, and he keeps getting loose. He's like, go again. He's like, oh, fine. So they go again. And they go again. And he's like, best of seven? Damn right. So he's like, so I asked, we were in the middle of the interview with him, and he's talking about that thing. And I was like, best of seven? He was like, stopped what he's saying. He's like, damn right. And I
was
like,
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's hard to get actors to repeat lines.
I know.
I was watching an Inside the Actor Studio thing.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, what does that guy do? Other than...
He's
that.
A teacher. He's a
I
teacher.
Know he teaches.
Yeah.
I know, but yeah.
Those who cannot act teach.
But he's so serious. When
he is. Yes.
And
I love Will Ferrell's version of him. It's
great. It's awesome. Anyway, he's asking Tom Hanks something. Tom Hanks said, "Yeah, well, life's like a box of chocolates," and he did the accent and everything, and everyone laughed and applauded. And he goes, "I don't do that. You guys are lucky that you got to hear me do that." He goes, "I don't do that." That was awesome.
Right.
Yeah, actors do not want you to. You know, people used to walk up to Henry Winkler. Hey!
Yeah.
He's like, stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it.
I imagine it's worse for iconic people like that, like Spock and like
Fonzie
and those,
and,
you know,
yeah,
Rob Williams with Mork and stuff.
Hey, and, yeah,
exactly.
Like,
you know, you got to wonder with people like Sadler, you know, what do they say to him on the road?
Yeah,
what
exactly.
Because he's
probably,
got so many different iconic things. But
probably best of seven, probably
yeah.
Test a lot. But yeah, it's... That was awesome that you got him to quote
was,
a line from
I was,
his movie.
I was hoping he would have he did it. That was awesome.
It was great.
And that was actually on my wife. She's like, you got to say
yeah,
best of seven. Yeah.
She posted it on Facebook. That was awesome.
Yeah, so that was cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely some great moments there. It's a blast. I mean, even if you don't go over the press pass and get to talk to everybody, you can still go and talk to these celebrities. And a lot of people were walking up to him and just saying, I just wanted to say hello. And they weren't buying anything.
Right.
You know, so
they're
nine times out of ten, they're okay with that,
I was
too.
Noticing because I was... I really wanted to land C. Thomas Howell, even though he turned us down. I still wanted to see if we could get him.
Yeah.
And I noticed when we were talking to Ed O'Neill, his booth was right across from C. Thomas Howell's, and nobody was at his booth.
Yep.
No
man.
No
handler
no,
there.
It was just him.
Yep.
And he's like looking on his phone and shit, and I'm thinking, man, if we can get over there, maybe we can get him.
Mm-hmm.
But during that time, I would see just random people walk up, not buy anything, not anything, and he'd take pictures with them.
Yep.
Without charging them the $30, which is what it is.
Handlers
the
will
picture,
do, yeah.
Yeah, you know, he'd stand up and take pictures with him. So it was very cool.
It's, I mean, this is probably more of a laid-back event than, say, Comic-Con. Because Comic-Con, I mean, they've each got their own rooms. You wait in this giant line. You're there for hours on end to meet these people. It's very much a cattle call kind of thing. It's like, you shake, picture, you're out. Shake, picture, you're out. You don't get the time.
Yeah. Right.
With this type of event, I mean, they spend time with you. Malcolm McDowell was talking to people for how
he
long?
He was awesome.
He was talking to people forever.
And,
you know?
I know he used to be married to Mary Steenburgen, but I didn't realize how many movies they've been in together. See, all his DVDs.
They met on Time After Time, and that was going to bring my Time After Time DVD, because I have it on DVD. It's one of my favorites of his.
Mm-hmm.
And I have him sign that, and if he would sign it, you know.
Right.
But my whole purpose was really to interview him. And I had so many questions for him. So many questions
He's a legend.
A lot of people. But,
he was in something recently that I loved. What was that?
I don't
know. Damn it.
He was in Heroes. I know that.
Oh, was he in Heroes?
Yeah, he was in that TV show.
Was that the...
The superhero.
Save the world,
yeah,
save the cheerleader thing. Okay.
Yeah. He's been in a ton, man. I mean, the guy's been acting forever. He's been
I know what it was.
Crap ton of horror movies recently.
He was good. The movie sucked. And we've ripped this movie a bunch of times. He was good as the Dr. Loomis character in the zombie Halloween.
Yeah.
He was the only thing worth watching in that movie.
And there was I was going to ask him about that because there was a thing on IMDb about how he was leery to play that character because Donald Pleasance had played it so well.
Mm-hmm.
And he went and got basically told Donald Pleasance, I've been offered to do this. He's like, oh, you'll knock it out of the park. It's
that's
anybody's
cool.
going to do it. You should do it. He's like, sweet. You know, so
that's cool. He had Donald Pleasance's approval. That's awesome.
To do it, you know.
Well, that was funny when we were talking to the guys that did Spirit Camp. What the hell is that?
Nah, it's noise. Don't worry about it.
Okay, Spirit Camp. Yeah, see, we just trudge along. We don't even acknowledge things like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
That's because we're pros.
That's because we're pros.
We were talking to the guy that did Spirit Camp, and you're talking to him about some actors and how the actor, you know, how much ad-libbing do you allow? And it's not on an interview. We didn't get to interview this part.
Yeah.
And I mentioned that Donald Pleasance scene in Halloween that Carpenter was just so into making the movie, he had never worked with actors.
Mm-hmm.
And Donald Pleasance said at the end, were you supposed to look over the balcony and Michael's gone? And he said, I can play this two ways. He's like, you can? It's like he's shocked. He said, he said, I can play it like I'm not surprised, or that I'm surprised, like you've written it in the script, or I can pretend like I'm not surprised because I expected this all along.
Yeah.
And he's like, ooh, do it both ways.
Yep.
And he did it, and he went with the one where he's like, he wasn't surprised.
Yep.
And it was awesome. And so that guy was like, he goes, that's what a good director does, is let the actor create the, you know.
And if Donald Pleasance wasn't a good actor, he would have been like, Michael, you silly guy.
Exactly.
I'll catch you.
He was so good. He was so good in that movie.
He was. He's great in that movie.
That movie wouldn't work without him.
Yeah, and that was one of the things we talked about with that with the guy from Kerosene Films. We talked about he worked with Eric Roberts. I was like, what was it like to work with Eric Roberts? That wasn't part of the interview.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, he goes, man, he was just a total pro. He gave me, I can do it this way, or
That's how it came
that's
up
how
with the Donald Pleasance
conversation.
Yeah. He was like, I got three different ways I can play this part. And I'm like, okay.
That's cool. When you know your craft enough to do that. It's
because
you know,
he was probably getting paid nothing for
this
thing.
I'm sure.
And yet he's still a pro. And, you know. And I'd heard he was hard to work with.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, not at all. He said he was a pro, man. He just knocked it out of the park. I'm like, that's cool. Good to hear. I'm glad
very
to hear
cool.
that.
Yeah, very cool. So, yeah, we had a blast, and you definitely should go if you haven't been. Spend the money. Go and hang out.
It's worth going. It's and you can do the VIP going. Thing. You get to stay. You get to come in earlier. You get to stay later. Mm-hmm. The actors generally will wait later for the VIP. So it's really cool. So
definitely
do it.
Cool. We had a blast, and we hope you guys check out the interviews, and we hope you like them. And we're still smoking cigars on the show. Like I said, we're just not really reviewing it, but this is a tasty cigar.
We're good. I've rarely had a – I can't even say that. I don't know that I've ever had a Viaje I didn't like.
Yeah, we liked that. We did that one that someone sent us. It was a listener that sent us one that was really good.
Oh, I smoked one the other day. So I don't own on the podcast. I smoked that Oro Platino.
Yeah. That's some age on it. It was good.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, tasty stuff. How can they find us, Randy?
We are on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Stitcher, Podcastland, Podomatic, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. I am at RandyRankin43 on Twitter.
I am at Captain Funky Pants on Twitter.
I am AJF Randy. On Instagram.
I am PDR_Brandon on Instagram.
And you can look us up on Facebook under our regular names. I'm Randy Rankin. Mm-hmm. He's Brandon Luna.
Yep.
I generally accept all Facebook requests unless you look like you're a girl and you're 12. Then I don't.
Yeah. Or if you look like you're just trying to get me to look at your boobs or something. And
well,
you
know. I'll look. But no, but I tell you that Nate and I got a stalker.
Yeah, you told me.
On Instagram. It was a 12-year-old girl. We didn't know because she didn't look 12. And all of a sudden I'm like, why is this girl following? And she's commenting on both of them. So I looked her up on Facebook just to see if she might have a face. And the girl's 13. I'm like, okay, delete her.
Be careful, man.
It was like, delete that.
Yep.
But so if you look old enough, I will accept your friend request.
Yep. And as always, it's been great smoking with you.
See you later, Brandon.
See you later, Randy.